Wiltshire police are continuing their search of a field close to where Linda Rizel was last seen in 2002. Forensic teams and sniffer dogs are working in a cordoned-off part of a field in Highworth after a tip-off from a member of the public. The mother of four was last seen on her way to work in Swindon.
Hi, M&Ms. Welcome back to another episode of Murder and More. As always, I am your host, Kira. Wrongful convictions and miscarriages of justice occur when a person is convicted of a crime that they did not commit. Typically, it's not realised that the person is innocent until they've served a large portion of their sentence. According to Innocence Canada, there are several factors that lead to a wrongful conviction. The most common factor in wrongful convictions is eyewitness error, with the Innocence Project suggesting that 70% of wrongful convictions occur as a result of this. Eyewitness testimony can be unreliable due to stress, lighting, distance, and poor memory recall. False confessions, errors in forensic science, discrimination, tunnel vision, and professional misconduct are also contributing factors in a person being wrongfully convicted of a crime. Highworth is a quaint market town 6 miles north of Swindon, with a population of just 8,151. The town is well known for its historic buildings and old town feel, with many Georgian houses. Linda Davies was just 18 years old when she met Glyn Rizel on a train in 1979. Glyn was embarking on a new career in the finance industry, and Linda was reading French at Reading University. The couple got married, had 4 children together, and lived in the historic, picturesque town of Highworth. The couple seemingly lived a happy life together, but this outward appearance of perfection would soon shatter when Linda began an affair with one of the builders they'd hired to build an extension on their house. One of her friends recalls this affair, quote, "She had sex with him in the house, she would go upstairs with him while the children were downstairs, she was crazy about him," end quote. When Glyn found out about Linda's affair, he began a separate relationship of his own, and the couple split in August 2000. Linda, who had a long history of mental illness, also found another partner after the man she was having an affair with grew tired of their relationship. Linda was last seen by her children and boyfriend on the 19th of March 2002. As usual, she dropped the kids off at school, drove 7 miles from her home in Highworth to Old Walcott, parked on Alverscott Road, and walked half an hour to her job at Swindon College, where she worked as a student support assistant. However, that morning would be different to every other morning, as Linda never made it to work. Somewhere between Alverscott Road and Swindon College, Linda Rizel disappeared. Her phone was later found in an alleyway near to where her car was parked. At 1 a.m. on the 20th, 16 hours after Linda vanished, the police went to Glyn's house to question him about his whereabouts and to try and build a picture of Linda's background and life. Glyn informed the police that he went for a walk the morning Linda disappeared and retraced his route with them, pointing out where all the CCTV cameras were that would have spotted him that could give him an alibi. On this route, they found 3 CCTV cameras that they could potentially use. However, 2 of them weren't recording at the time, and the 3rd wasn't seized in time and had unfortunately already been recorded over and lost forever. Any alibi Glyn had was beginning to fall apart. In April, They knew there were witnesses that were on a school trip at Lydiard Park. However, they weren't questioned until 3 months later, and unsurprisingly, had no recollection of whether they saw Glynn that morning or not. A dog walker was also identified as a possible witness, but he wasn't followed up for an entire year, and predictably, he also had no memory of that specific morning. With no witnesses, police focused on undertaking searches in an effort to locate Linda, including using divers, dogs, and heat-seeking equipment. They searched over 200 locations around Swindon, including areas Glynn was familiar with, but unfortunately came up completely empty. On the 17th of May, Glynn Rozelle was charged with the murder of his wife, despite a body having not been located. In September 2002, Glynn pleaded not guilty to Linda's murder, where a judge bailed him and adjourned his trial until the summer of 2003. The trial began in October 2003. The Crown Prosecution contended that Glynn drove from his home in Swindon and abducted Linda on her way to work. However, Glynn claimed he had no idea what her routine was, and there are several reasons that this is probably the case. Firstly, Linda's routine always changed. Her hours varied between terms, and additionally, the site she worked on would occasionally change too. Also, Linda had actually only recently started parking on Alvescott Road to save money on parking costs, as she was newly separated and needed the money to not only support herself and the kids, but also for the divorce proceedings. Finally, Glynn hadn't had any contact with Linda for 18 months before her disappearance, proving again he probably didn't know what her routine was. Police questioned Linda and Glynn's friends, Linda's colleagues and residents of Alvescott Road, and no one could confirm that Glynn knew where she parked, so this was a massive flaw in the prosecution's case against him. On the morning of Linda's disappearance, Glynn was meant to be going to France to collect some wine and cheese, however the day before he pulled out because his solicitors needed his affidavit for court to get his bank account unfrozen, which Linda had requested be frozen several days before she went missing on Friday the 15th. Glynn's friends still went ahead and made the journey to France, however asked to take his car with them as it was a people carrier and much more spacious than the rest of their cars, meaning it had more room for all the wine. Glynn happily obliged and swapped cars with one of his friends, the car he was using on the day Linda disappeared. At 8:24 the morning Linda disappeared, Glynn received a call on his landline from his girlfriend. The call only lasted 1 minute and 43 seconds. However, it's known that on Tuesdays, Linda arrived at work between 9 a.m. and 9:15, meaning she needed to park on Alvescott Road at 8:50 to make it into work on time. From Glynn's house to where she was parked, depending on traffic, it could take anywhere from 15 to 20 minutes, potentially even longer. It's theorised that to give Glynn enough time to get through the traffic, park his car, and hide somewhere to wait to abduct Linda, he would have needed to leave his house at about 8:20. 4 minutes before the phone call with his girlfriend, which we know he answered. That call lasted just under 2 minutes, meaning he wasn't off the phone until at least 8:26. Factoring in several minutes to get his shoes and a coat on and get in the car, that only gave him between 20 and 22 minutes to get through traffic, which I know at 8 a.m. is horrendous through Swindon, park up and wait to see Linda. So I find it really difficult to believe that this was a plausible theory. There is also a report from one of Glynn's neighbours who saw his car parked on his drive at 9:30 when she went shopping, and again at 11 a.m. when she came home. Even though this is after Linda's abduction time, it only gave him 40 minutes to abduct Linda, murder her and get back home. Again, this makes the theory completely implausible in my opinion. He would have had to have taken her somewhere to murder her, I assume hide the body somewhere, clean up and get home, again through traffic, and I refuse to believe that that all takes just 40 minutes. Now, let's go back to the CCTV from the walk he took that morning. One of the cameras was actually on the side of a police station, which police claim wasn't recording. There was no way that Glynn, a civilian, could have known this information. If Glenn had knowledge that the camera wasn't recording, he probably wouldn't have pointed it out if he knew it wasn't going to show him on the walk he claims he took. In addition to this, more than 20 CCTV tapes were seized along the route Glenn would have supposedly taken on his way to abduct his ex-wife. These pictures were heavily analysed and enhanced, and the car Glenn was driving that day was spotted on none of them. There is no way he would have been able to drive the entire route without getting caught on at least one of the CCTV cameras, proving again that the prosecution's theory was highly improbable. The alley where Linda's phone was found is an alley that Linda always walked on her way to work, so was extremely familiar with it. Her phone was found in front of some garages, which the prosecution claim fell out of a bag when Glenn abducted her. Again, there are several holes in this theory. First, the phone was actually found under a piece of wood, which looked like it had been planted rather than simply dropped in a struggle, suggesting Glenda probably wasn't abducted from the alleyway. The alley is only wide enough to fit one car down, so there's no room for a car to turn around. A resident watched Linda as she walked into the alley, and 75 seconds later, he followed in his car. The police timed how long it would take for Linda to walk to the spot her phone was found, and discovered it was 45 seconds. If the resident followed her in 75 seconds after he saw her enter, this left only 30 seconds for Glenn to overpower her, abduct her, put her in his car, and drive off. It probably took me longer than 30 seconds to type that sentence, let alone for me to abduct someone without anyone noticing or hearing anything strange. So again, this is completely implausible. There was also a driving instructor at the other end of the alley who witnessed nothing unusual, and I assume didn't see the car Glenn was driving that day come out of the alley. If there had have been a car down the alley when the resident entered after Linda, he would have seen it, as it would have either blocked him or he would have followed it out. There is a witness, however, who apparently saw Linda after she left the alley, walking quickly and looking rather upset, which would suggest she wasn't abducted in the alley at all. But that raises more questions than it answers. Why was her phone there if she'd made it out of the alley alive? Between the morning she went missing and the following day, Linda's phone received a vast number of calls, 43 to be exact, which is a completely plausible occurrence when someone goes missing. The interesting thing about these calls, though, is that on the day she went missing, a call was received at 10:17 p.m. This call registered on a mast a mile away from where her phone was found, a mast that didn't cover the alleyway, suggesting again her phone was planted almost as an afterthought rather than dropped during a struggle. Unfortunately though, there isn't enough information to know where the rest of her calls registered and when it started registering close to the alley again to be able to determine what may have happened that day. The prosecution claimed that Glenn would receive a lot of money if Linda were to pass away. My first issue with this, if that was the case, why would he hide her body? If he needed for her to definitely be dead, surely he would have left her body either in the alley or somewhere where it would be found so he could claim all this money. In any case, he didn't actually stand to benefit from Linda's death anyway. Linda had changed her will in 2000 when she commenced the divorce proceedings so that everything she owned and all of her money would instead go to her children, not Glenn. Linda's life insurance also went to her kids, both of these things Glenn knew about. This finding ruled out a financial motive for him to murder her. The prosecution had one main piece of evidence, specifically blood that was found in the car Glenn was driving at the time Linda disappeared. But there's a lot of questions around whether this blood was actually present at the forensic search or whether it had been planted. Scenes of crime officers, more commonly known as SOCO, apprehended the Renault Laguna and had it in their possession for 4 days, where it was heavily forensically analysed, however couldn't locate any physical evidence in the car. This meant that the day after Linda disappeared, there were no visible traces of blood in the car. The car was given back to the owner in complete disarray, who then cleaned it thoroughly inside and out. Again, he didn't notice any blood anywhere in the car. It wasn't until 7 days later, on the 28th of March, that police seized the car again, and this time found blood in the boot and on the footwell mat on the passenger side. It seems impossible to me that police could search the car for 4 days and find nothing, yet a week later found a bloodstain which, according to a forensic scientist, was large enough to be seen with the naked eye. Glynn's girlfriend got into the passenger seat the evening Linda disappeared and placed her bag in the spot they found one of the bloodstains. They tested this bag and her shoes and found no traces of blood on them. There was also no forensic evidence linking Linda to the car, Glynn's clothes, or his house. As I assumed this would have been Glynn's first abduction and murder, it was almost inevitable that he was going to make some mistakes, so the fact that Linda's hair, fingerprints, and DNA couldn't be found anywhere relating to Glynn makes it highly improbable he had anything to do with her disappearance. Despite the surmounting amount of evidence that proved Glynn probably wasn't involved, in November of 2003, the jury found him guilty of Linda's murder and he was sentenced to life imprisonment. There are several theories surrounding Glynn's disappearance. First is that a third party was involved. Whilst it isn't the prevalent theory, I still believe it may hold some credibility. 2 months before Linda went missing, in January 2002, a witness claimed they saw Linda in a pub car park in Swindon, kissing a man that didn't match her boyfriend's description, which raises the question as to whether there was another man in the picture, and her boyfriend found out about it. Her friends had already revealed that even though the couple had been together for a year at the time of her disappearance, Linda never saw the relationship as surviving long term. Perhaps she was preparing to leave him and he struggled to come to terms with this. This unidentified man reportedly drove a beige car, and at 8:30 the morning Linda was last seen, a beige car was spotted near to where she parked her car every morning, but the car and the driver have never been traced. I'm not sure how significant this evidence is, but it raises more questions nonetheless. Was it even Linda in the pub car park? There's a huge possibility that it could have easily been someone else that resembled Linda significantly. Another witness claimed they saw Linda's boyfriend sitting on a wall in Queen's Park at 9:30 a.m. the morning Linda disappeared. Linda always walked through this park on her way to work, so was he meeting her there? Apparently he saw her at the house before she left with the kids, so why would he need to meet her an hour later? Again, was it even him or was it just another man who looked like him? Police have looked into the boyfriend's phone records and found that there are 3 occasions where his phone used masts in a different place to where he claimed to be that day, meaning he was deceiving the police. But why? It's reported that he was acting strange in the weeks leading up to Linda's disappearance and had actually been reported monitoring Glynn's movements. One day, he even knocked on Glynn's neighbour's door pretending he thought Glynn lived there and inquired as to whether Glynn still lived in the house next door. This seems strange to me, but again, I'm not sure how relevant it is to the case. He could have just been a jealous, anxious boyfriend. The main theory is that Linda disappeared of her own volition. Apparently, Linda cleaned out her car the weekend before she disappeared, and this was extremely unusual for her. Now, I have to be honest, I rarely clean my car. When I do, it's because I know it's a mess and I've found the motivation to clean it out, not because I'm planning on running away, so again, I'm not sure how relevant this information is. What is interesting, however, is that Linda and her boyfriend visited 3 different banks just the day before she went missing, and CCTV has indicated that money was withdrawn. Was she getting money out to start a new life? On the morning she went missing, Linda's children reported her as being calmer than usual. Normally, she'd be stressed in the mornings, and she should have been extremely stressed that morning, as one of the children had forgotten their homework, which made them all late. The children also reported that when she dropped them off at school, Linda said goodbye to them instead of see you at 5, as she always did. I suppose if they were running late, she may have been in a rush, but if she always told them the same thing, why not this time? Was she genuinely saying goodbye because she knew she'd never see them again? But what mother ups and walks away from their kids? The badge Linda was supposed to wear at work at all times was found in a drawer at her home, and an emergency phone she had for the kids to contact her on was also left at home. I suppose there's an easy answer to this. They were running late, and it's highly possible she forgot these items. I know I forget things all the time when I'm leaving for work and have to run back into the house to get them, and I'm only getting myself ready, so it's highly plausible she simply forgot them. Now, there are several reasons Linda may have decided to run away. Firstly, she was having significant financial problems, being behind on paying her mortgage. Glyn's maintenance money had also stopped being paid as he'd been made redundant, so it was a significant issue for her. She was also having issues at work, apparently being confrontational and even having to be moved classes due to a clash with the tutor and the way she was behaving towards the students. Linda had suffered with mental health issues for a long time, with her children reporting she'd been a lot more emotional leading up to her disappearance. She was going through a long divorce and she was bitter towards the relationship her ex-husband had. She had several genuine reasons to just want to start all over again. I have a lot of feelings about this case. Part of me genuinely believes she just got tired of her life. She got tired of the divorce and the financial struggles and just left. There were several sightings of her in Weston-super-Mare and Wales, suggesting she's possibly still alive or she just has a doppelganger. All the evidence, the planting of the phone, the poor mental health, the withdrawing of cash just the day before, even the manner in which she said goodbye to her kids, all makes me think that maybe she did just run away. There is also a part of me, however, and there always has been a part of me that thinks something sinister may have happened, but honestly, I'm struggling to make any of the evidence fit that picture. She was seen entering the alley. Why would she park her car and start heading towards work if she were planning on disappearing? Why wouldn't she just drive from the kids' school to wherever she was planning on going? But where along her route could she have disappeared? We've already concluded it probably wasn't the alleyway. But this was such a busy time of day with loads of people walking their kids to school and driving to work. I can't believe she was abducted in broad daylight without anyone witnessing it. I suppose it's possible she parked and started walking to make it look like she was going to work, and she was actually heading somewhere else entirely. A train station or a bus stop, perhaps? If she had been planning this for a while, she may have been planning to make it look like she was abducted, especially if she was bitter towards Glyn. Maybe either her alone or her and her boyfriend were planning on making it look like Glyn had murdered her. Is that why her boyfriend was supposedly tracking Glyn's movements in the weeks before she disappeared? I don't know, and I'm not sure if we will ever know the answers to any of these questions. I also can't find any information about where the boyfriend is now, which in part seems strange to me, but also he might just be lying low, which is probably a perfectly natural thing to want to do when you were one of the last people to see your girlfriend alive. A field in Highworth was recently cordoned off and searched at the start of 2019, and it was suggested it was linked to Linda's disappearance. I haven't heard any information since this revelation, so I have to assume they didn't find anything, and it makes me wonder if we will ever find any new information with regards to Linda's location. If she simply ran away, she's doing a good job of hiding. And if she was murdered, I believe it's going to be a case of her remains being found incidentally, or unless someone confesses to her murder. If you have any information relating to Linda's disappearance, please contact Wiltshire Police on 101 or contact Crime Stoppers anonymously on 0800 555 111. Linda's family and friends deserve answers and deserve to finally be able to put this nearly 20-year-old mystery to bed. Linda and her loved ones deserve closure. Thank you for listening. Don't forget to head over to Apple Podcasts to leave a rating and review, and Patreon to consider becoming a patron of Murder & More. to interact with us, you can follow us on Twitter and Tumblr at Murder and More, Instagram at Murder and More Pod, and Facebook at Murder and More Podcast. To view the sources and pictures for this episode, head over to www.murderandmorepodcast.wordpress.com. Have a great week, and I'll see you all next week for another episode.